Today I'm going to highlight a couple different scripture passages as I sort of move from Pentecost last Sunday. I'm going to move a little bit to answer the question that was spoken at Pentecost. First of all, they saw what was going on, and all the spectators who were like walking by and hearing all this, they would go, what in the world does this mean? All these people speaking in languages. And we're hearing different languages from around the world. It was stunning, right, what they were hearing. Aren't these Galileans? Yes, but the Spirit is doing something new. And then after a little bit further, they say, well, what are we to do? What are we to do? So I'm going to spend 4 weeks on kind of unpacking that a little bit with this. I'm going to talk about loving God and cultivating a relationship with God for 2 weeks. That's something we can do. The next 2 weeks will be loving your neighbor and different ways, right, of how we can cultivate relationship with our neighbors. Because God's purpose for the world is that his gospel message, that the message of salvation in Jesus' name, that life in the Holy Spirit, everything that comes with it, reconciliation, redemption, justification, forgiveness of sin, it's all ours. The presence, the power, right? The purposes of God in our life at work. So that's about where we're going over the next 4 weeks. And today I want to focus on loving God and loving your neighbor. Obviously, it's the greatest commands here. And I'm going to read where those things are from. And by the way, the Old Testament and the New Testament are the same on this. Sometimes we think, oh, that's old, this is new. What Jesus said is what counts. No, God has been speaking this from the beginning. Deuteronomy, in fact, I'll just read it right now. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself comes directly from Leviticus 19, where God gives more laws for his people to live by, like laws for our flourishing and our guidance and what he desires of us. And then from Matthew 22, Jesus reads these same words. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. They're basically one and the same. You can't have one without the other and the other without the other one. These are the greatest commandment. So what does this mean? To love the Lord your God, what does it look like to love the Lord with your whole heart? Good question. There are a myriad of ways, but what I want to do is talk about three specific ways today so that you definitely have something that you're like, wow, this is easy. Now, those of you who've been around the church, those of you who've been around Scripture, you've engaged in prayer, and the third one might surprise you, but I'm starting with these three because in Scripture, these things come out strong, and you can't miss it as to how can I love God? What am I to do? What does this mean? What does it look like? The first one I'm going to talk about is Scripture, and I'm going to introduce our new text of the quarter. I'm going to look, it looks like practicing Sabbath. I'm going to explain a little bit about that. Entering into the shalom of God, yes, every day, but there's something about the creational rhythm that God gave about keep the Sabbath day. We'll talk about that spiritually, physically, emotionally, rhythmically. And to be in communion with God continually, I'm going to talk about that when I talk about prayer. So Scripture, Sabbath, and prayer today, that's where I'm going. What I want to do is introduce to you the new text of the quarter. If you're new here today, we do like a text of the quarter roughly. Sometimes it's sooner than that where we learn another one, but we try to commit these texts to memory. And what I've learned over time is that it can seep into your heart, it becomes part of you, and then it becomes something that you walk in, you know, you actually live it out. So I've said these before, I've spoken some messages on these. This is going to be our text of the quarter that I want you to learn. Joshua 1, 7 through 9. Be strong and courageous. And the Hebrew word, and this is fun, hazak. All right? Be strong and courageous, hazak. Be careful to obey. All right? halak. What halak means, and it'll be used in scripture a lot, it means to walk in it. So all the scriptures that speak about, here's the word of the Lord. This is how you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart. This is how you love your neighbors yourself. And he says, obey these things, walk in them. So be strong and courageous, hazak. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Now, I'm not going to unpack that one in all of its fullness. You got to think like, oh, it's not like something you put a coin in and automatically out comes blessing. We know that to follow Jesus can be hard. We know that you still experience hard things. Absolutely. However, this is the way God made the world. This is his general principle and design for us. It says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it. This is Haggah. On it day and night, which, by the way, that's a Hebrew also term called a merismus, which means all the time. When you see day and night or night and day, like in creation, you know, there was night and there was day. What that's saying is it's a complete amount of time. When it says this in the psalm, it means all the time, continually, day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything in it. So, Hazak, halak, Haggah, do not be afraid, it goes on. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So know that when we're on this path, right, being strong and courageous, of obeying God's word, of hearing it, listening to it, taking it in and walking in it, and meditating on it day and night, we don't need to be afraid. We do not need to be discouraged. For the Lord God is with us wherever we go. All right, scripture. Well, you've heard me speak this verse many times too, but I want to just give one verse of grounding for scripture, particularly because out of our text of the quarter in Joshua, it uses the same merismus, Hebrew merismus, day and night. Here's what I want to say about scripture. Psalm 1, blessed is the one who delights in the law of the Lord. And on this law, you could think of the law as word. It means all of the Torah, everything. So you got the narrative, the prophets, the poetry, all that stuff. Blessed is the one who delights in the law of the Lord, meditates on it day and night. They're like a tree planted by a stream of water, yields its fruit in season. Whatever they do, right? Their leaves are always green. Whatever they do prospers. What did you just hear? An echo of Joshua. Meditate, walk in it, be strong and courageous, like having roots into living water. You flourish as God designed you and made you to be. It's beautiful. A second way loving God looks like Sabbath. Now this one, I'm going to go right to the Ten Commandments, and I want you to just hear and listen to the words there. Remember, this is from Exodus 20, 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor, do all your work, but a seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your servants, nor your animals, nor your any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Creational, huh? Built right into the fabric of creation. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Sabbath, to practice it in a rhythmic order, as a regular practice, says all kinds of things about being strong and maintaining your strength, about walking in trust and obedience and faithfulness before God. It says a lot about God's design for our restoration, for worship of Him and wonder. The third one is prayer. this one I wanted to choose, Philippians 4, which many of you know. I think it might be, this might be someone in the crowds here's favorite text. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, and the peace of God will be with you. It goes on, right? The God of peace will be with you, and the peace of God will be with you, that not just in some things do you pray, but in all things do you pray, and in everything you pray with thanksgiving. What does that mean? Well, we just celebrated Pentecost. To love God is to grow and cultivate a relationship with God. When you look at the early church, you see this front and center. It's like the core hallmark of what they are and what they do. So how about you? Let's just answer that, and I'll go through these one by one again. Scripture, first of all. During seminary, I encountered Scripture in a new way, as I was encouraged to look at what Scripture says about, yeah, let him in. He looks like a friendly person. that's great. During seminary, I was encouraged to look at Scripture in a different way than what I kind of was used to. Look at it as to what Scripture says about itself. And I was taught like a couple different ways to read Scripture. Like, here's a danger of what we tend to do, just in our own sort of understanding, is we take all that we know, all that we've experienced, and we open Scripture or whatever we may be reading and studying, and we like to like read something and say, oh, this is what it means to me. Now, I'm not saying that's the problem. The problem is actually when we read our own sort of interpretation and meaning into the text, where we might almost make the text say what we want it to say. The beauty of Scripture is that you read Scripture, but you allow Scripture to read you. You allow the meaning of Scripture to come out of Scripture to you, not you bringing your interpretation into it, okay? It doesn't mean that we don't, you know, Bible studies, we reflect and think, well, what do you hear? What do you understand about that? And we share our thoughts. It's not what I'm talking about, right? But in general, to allow Scripture to read us. So, where Scripture and its teaching, its meaning, shapes me. I don't take me, read in, and have it sort of affirm what I'm thinking, or just I shape it. Maybe that's a way to think about it. It's something I take in. Those of you know the word Haggah by now, right? If you've been around for a little bit in Crestview, I come back to this because Haggah is a meditation is the word, but it's a little bit mild. It's like a lion that devours its prey, like mulling over it, consuming it, taking it in. The prophet Jeremiah talks about this. To delight in the law of the Lord. To take it in. That's the way to sort of read Scripture and allow Scripture to transform us and to shape us and to change us. So exegesis out of Scripture, not eisegesis into Scripture, if you want the technical theological term. Psalm 19 describes this kind of thing vividly. Scripture gives light to the eyes. It gives joy to the heart. It goes on and lists about 7 or 8 sort of analogies like that that we can start to understand. That's the beauty and the power and the wonder of Scripture, of how it can shape us. It brings us all of those things. We've memorized texts in the past, like 2 Timothy, where I think it's 3:16, right? It says that all of God's word is useful for teaching. It's all of it's God-breathed. useful for correcting, training in righteousness, so that we might become mature in Christ. It's living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword, the Hebrews chapter 4. This is how Scripture speaks about itself. If you read Psalm 119, it's like it's a huge acrostic. Every letter of the Hebrew alphabet has about 8 verses or so of Scripture, like of poetry, all waxing eloquent about Scripture. Go look at it today. To allow Scripture to lead its meaning out, to shape and to transform us, it means we need to be engaged with it. We do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from our Father in heaven. Well, it doesn't almost get any more plain or black and white, so to speak, in the sense that it's on pages for us in the Bible, God's Word. Psalm 119, I'll just give you one verse. You've heard this before, probably, if you've been around the church. Your word is a lamp. It's a light to my feet, a light to my path. The word is light. It's a light that I take in, and it shines out of me. I don't manipulate the light. The light shapes me. That's how it works. So what does this mean? Well, it means hagah, take it in, meditate on it. It means halak, walk in it, and it means hazak, be strong and courageous in it. So what are we to do? Well, this is where, there's lots of different directions you can go in practices, but I will say that one opportunity, at least that's coming up right away, is Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, where we all gather together simply to hear God's word being read in a group setting and then just simply reflect or respond to it or react in ways that maybe it shapes us. We'll do that with the book of Ruth. Maybe you're involved in a Bible study with other people where you're actively engaged in Scripture. Maybe you have a personal devotion, sort of like an engagement of your own that you have. A few years ago, started into this 3-year Read Through the Bible program. I haven't been doing it my whole life, but I haven't stopped since because I've found it to be unbelievably wonderful and beautiful. And if I skip a day or two, it's like I sense it, I know it. There are words that come out of Scripture based on the readings of just the discipline of it that affect that day of what might be happening and what might be going on. It doesn't matter. It's all God's Word meant to shape me. I gladly share that with you, what that looks like. Other people have different things. We started Lectio 365, an app. Today there's all kinds of apps, but this is just one we've really liked. It gives you a morning, a midday, and an evening reflection where you just hear Scripture. Sometimes it's done in a Lectio style where it repeats with different prayers. It's usually no more than 8 minutes long. We have that kind of time, right? We can do this to be engaged in the living Word of God so that it shapes us. This is what it means to love God with your whole heart, to walk in it, to take it in, to be strong in it. So, memorization is something. I actually kind of personally like that. Some people, that may not be their thing, but I find that to be a good thing for me. Because sometimes it just comes up. In the unexpected times, God brings it to mind. Now, how about Sabbath? This one is a little bit more curious, certainly to me, because I grew up in a Reformed tradition. And just like the book of Hebrews sort of takes this interpretive angle about the Sabbath, that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Sabbath rest, that every day in Christ, so to speak, is a Sabbath rest from sin. And so that's sort of the bigger concept that I grew up with and learned. And I love it, by the way, especially because I grew up disliking Sundays because it was all about what I couldn't do. It felt very legalistic. I had no idea or understanding exactly what my parents were doing. I'm like, this just seems weird. You gonna sleep on the couch all day? That was what my dad did. I'm not doing that. What does it look like? I've come to a point where I look at it a little bit more redemptively. I think, what is it that is going to fill me? I think a part of it is Sunday worship. If it wasn't a pastor, I definitely would be going to some church, because Sunday is a wonderful day set aside to be able to gather with God's people, to enjoy fellowship, to be reminded of forgiveness of sins, to be able to confess sin, to be receive assurance of forgiveness, to be able to be equipped and gathered around the Word. All these things are good for Sunday. But I think in some of my liberality about this, like, hey, every day is a Sabbath. Well, then you start to realize, oh, wow, that means every day is a rest from sin. Oops. Got to work on that. Which we should. Be consistent. Not just be Sunday and the other day is something else. But what happens in the process sometimes when you get so free about it and you start thinking one day is the same as the others, you neglect God's good gift, a command to stop. This is God's creational design for every created creature. Most of all, human beings created in God's image. 6 days he made the heavens and the earth, and the seventh day he rested. Now, I know there's all kinds of ways to interpret that. He's still, thank you, Lord, that you don't let go of the laws of physics. You keep everything operating. You're still engaged in our lives and in your world. I mean, that's not what it means, that he just stops doing that. But what he's saying is, I'm giving this to you for your good. Do you trust me? Do you trust me that I'm going to provide for you? Do you trust me that this is for your good, that you replenish your body, that you rest, that you engage in other kinds of activities, that stop from something so that you can actually enter into something good? Honor the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. If we want to enter into God's rest, I think we got to sort of take God's word on something like this. It doesn't mean you can have different interpretations of that. I mean, I think there's tons of freedom in what Sunday or Sabbath practice can look like. I do. But don't let that freedom lead you to a point where you just say, I'm not practicing it, or don't need to. So these are ways we love God and cultivate a relationship with Him. Think about it. If we neglect Sabbath, it's just true. I know it for myself. If sometimes weeks are a little bit crazy, once in a while this happens, where I might work like a 14 or almost even 21 days straight, right? Where like three Sundays maybe are just linked together with constant activity. I know how my mind starts to function. I'm like, get me out of here. I just need to stop. I'm going to buy a plane ticket to Europe and get out of here. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to the mountains. It's because I've neglected God's good design. I was just telling Dio, and I took a day off yesterday from biking, and I don't take many days off from biking. I woke up this morning, I said, you know what? My back feels a little bit better today. My wife's like, no duh. I've been telling you to stop. Our bodies are made for this. Our minds are made for this. You want to love God? Honor the Sabbath. Figure out what that looks like. It shows trust. It shows gratitude. Stopping to remember. That's one thing we need too. I don't know if you're like me, but I'm so driven sometimes that I see this goal and I'm just like, pew! And then I forget along the way, my gratitude goes away because it's all about that. And I forget the good gifts of every day. We can stop and listen. We can discover. We actually find out what's missing. And how about just simply enjoying something for enjoying it? I actually think that's a big part of Sabbath, actually, for me. Just to enjoy something for the pure enjoyment of it. So what are we to do? Rhythmically stop, cultivate relationship with God, gather for worship, engage in fellowship. Maybe it's a great focused day of prayer. We get together for the breaking of bread. All these good things. All right, prayer. I got to keep moving here. Prayer. I'm going to just share something with you personally. And please don't judge me too harshly. I love to devour, I think, and meditate and memorize and just reflect on Scripture. I'd say it's probably, of all the disciplines of how to love God and get to know God, draw nearer to God, is through Scripture. That's just true for me. Now, I'm talking today about some disciplines, Scripture, Sabbath, prayer. Next week, I'm gonna give you a whole bunch more because I just want you to taste it and see, like, maybe there's something new you could try. But prayer has always been interesting to me. It's good with Scripture. Practicing and entering into Sabbath practice, I'd say good. I love it. I look forward to it, but yet it's a work in progress, Sabbath. I'm a busybody, busy-minded, love to do. And then there's prayer. When it comes to prayer, I think my relationship with it is interesting. I'm going to share with you a little bit what goes on in my mind and my heart. And I don't think it's right. I don't think it's wrong. I just think it might hinder me from going deeper in prayer. God, you already know everything about me, about those around me. What's going on? What is needed? So you know, you don't need me to inform you much about anything. You got it. Anybody relate to that? Anybody? Do you have that? Oh, you guys are good people. We have other things. Let me ask this. Do you see a problem with that? Yes, no. Yes. I see a problem with it. I think the problem that I'm coming up with is that even though God knows, God loves to have engagement with us and relationship with us, and to not speak with God about those things in a way of regular conversation really cuts off some of the relationship, wouldn't you think? Okay, that's the problem I see. If you find another one, I'd like to hear it. You can help guide me, teach me that way. Here's another funny thing about me in prayer. When in a group, this is my pet peeve. People are sharing their prayer requests, right, at the end of a night. Listen to how I even talk about it. I'm so bad. After everyone shares their prayer requests, right, they've gone around the table. Then the official practice seems to be, right, that then you go and you pray for each of these requests. And I still can't shake this because my thought is twofold. God just heard all of our requests we shared. Isn't he here? Or I just want to skip to a coverall prayer. Because I'm a pastor, so people will ask me to pray after all this happens usually. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. You know, Lord, thank you. And I'm not doing this facetiously or, what's the word you, sputtin? Is there another word for it, more official? Anyway. But, yeah, something. But it's like, Lord, thank you for being a loving, ever-listening God and hearing all of our requests. We trust you, we thank you, and we ask for your love and presence in our lives and all these things. Now, nothing wrong with that, right? Nothing wrong with that. But there's a little bit something wrong with my attitude. I trust God's sovereignty. I can lean into that God is present all the time and he knows what's going on. What does he need me to say? However, what God wants is relationship. He wants conversation. So I practice a little bit of this in a different way when I'm biking, because I just happen to have some time biking. You know, sometimes I listen to a podcast, sometimes music, but man, if I can spend time just in conversation with God and make it actually, I think that would be great for me. Especially when you read something like Philippians chapter 4, like pray continually. I think I could get into praying continually in some ways more than I can sometimes with my hang-ups. Okay? Still want me to be your pastor?
Yes.
Because then it makes you look good. That's good. I've never been considered a patient person. I also think I'm ADD, but I've never been diagnosed. And I probably wouldn't take medication for it. It's just another hang-up I have. Maybe I should. But these kind of things that I just shared with you interfere with a good, healthy prayer life. So combine that with always on the move, which I'm just describing myself, and you guys are very busy people too. I see it. If I have to pray while being still, my mind wanders, I tend to get sleepy. So when it comes to prayer, I'd say it's okay, but it needs to be better. Oh God, I love scripture. Spend a lot of time with God and in conversation because I do a lot of journaling, so it's not like I'm hopeless. I engage in Sabbath, but I could do better. I could really do better with Dion on that together, that our lives would match that way because we have schedules. I'm a pastor, right? Different days, different things. But prayer. God, would you grow in me a heart of prayer and conversation. Just so I can love you better. I was thinking of the verse this week. Where can I go and meet with God? Like, to have that kind of posture. Where can I go and meet with God? Well, anytime, anywhere. So I am thankful for my wife, Dionne. She's like a continual, constant example of a life of prayer. She teaches me good things. So what does it mean for prayer? It means continual conversation. It means full dependence and relationship with God. And it means in everything at all times. Now I'm going to wrap it up here. I think we should normalize prayer as an absolute regular practice, inviting it, asking for it, asking to pray for others, that it would just be something that's just on our lips and becomes a regular part of our lives. I would love it if we all, right, in our ways can grow in the ways we devour scripture and listen to it, to be taught by it, to allow it to get into us so that we can walk in it and live in it, enjoy its beauty, its wonder, its goodness, its grace. It's truth. And I think we need to get back to practicing something as simple as Sabbath. Not writing it off, but submitting to it. And we can have conversations about what that should look like together. What does it mean for us individually? So, there you go. Loving God, week one. Next week we'll be loving God again, but we'll just pick some different things to focus on. Engaging scripture, practicing Sabbath, continually being in prayer. Would you pray with me? God, thank you.